All right, well, welcome everyone. Welcome and thank you for joining. This is my we call her Teens, Tina Jensen, and she is the Jesus Princess, also known as Jesus Princess on YouTube, and she is a warrior of the faith that is just always sharing God's love with so many people. And we actually met back in 2012. On YouTube, I was posting just like every random crazy thing that could possibly get my hands on, and Tina would always take the time to write very carefully, lovely poems to Jesus and prayers, and she just has such a beautiful heart for the Lord, and she has a lovely accent too. Where are you from, Tina, for the audience?
I come from Winchester, which is Hampshire, which is right down south of England. That is right central, southern central of England.
So Winchester, great. Well, if anyone listening from Winchester area is here or later on, let us know. So tell us about your name, Jesus Princess. How did that name come about?
Well, I always wanted to be a princess, and who better to be a princess to than the king of the universe himself.
You chose very well, I have to say. That's like the ultimate. That is probably the best choice right there to become a princess. Not all of us can just go and become a princess like that, but Tina has the faith to do it, and she's definitely blessed so many. I mean, I've met many people through your reaching out to people on Facebook, and so I consider you really just a missionary on the internet, part of the spirit force, part of the spirit traveling force. And one of the reasons that I say that is also you wrote a book, which we're going to be talking about. First, I'd like you to share a lot of your testimonies and some of the miracle testimonies that you've had that we were talking about earlier. But you also have a book called The Coming of the Tiger Fly.
That's right.
And Tiger Fly Comes to Save Earth, available on Amazon, which I hope people will check out. Really, really trippy, amazing, but like a child story. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Oh, okay then. Well, when I was walking through the fields, because everybody says I have a really good imagination. And I was walking through the fields one summer, and I came across some beautiful butterflies, because I just really love nature and being out in God's nature. And I felt the Holy Spirit talking to me. I believe that I was probably going along my way, having a little conversation with Jesus, like I do sometimes. And I saw dogs, and I was sort of like wondering, I wonder what Jesus, I wonder what kind of creature would be if it was like fierce, coming across. But also beautiful and tender and everything. And then the tiger fly came to my mind, like the tiger could be fierce, to God's enemies, to people that are like criminals and like bad people and everything. And but then he would have a loving and soft and kind side to like the innocents, like children and people with like pure hearts, and and I kind of looked at the two together, and it tiger fly came to my mind, and in his and in the tiger fly's wings has like all the colors of the universe, and the colors that we never even seen before, and they're ginormous
Wow.
wings, and they sparkle, and I think it's really showing off God's glory, and that I was thinking of.
Sounds like a lot of the other people who've been to heaven and seen things there too. The colors that have never been seen, just the, I mean, really far out there kinds of things. And I guess we won't give away the whole story, but I just posted the link, so I hope everyone will at least go there and click on that and keep that in your bookmarks of books that you definitely want to check out. Now you talk about, having a really good imagination. When you have visions and things like this, do you write them down? Have you been writing down like a lot of just the kind of things that you've been seeing when you pray, or when you spend time with the Lord, have you ever received any kind of like visions? And if so, have you written them down, and can we find them anywhere?
I have written a few down in my own sort of like personal diary and everything, but I must admit I haven't written down as much as I should do. I should start making an effort really to sit down and make a diary and put all my thoughts and all my experiences in, and you know, the feelings that I feel for Jesus and everything, because I speak to Jesus and that through feelings sometimes. Our feelings can bounce off of each other, like through the Holy Spirit. And, you know, sometimes he can tell me through feelings what to do. And,
yeah.
You know.
I would recommend everybody listening to, when you do have time with the Lord, to do that. And I need to do it as well. I need to get more faithful with that. But it's just, it's so cool that there are so many. It's kind of, there's this movie coming out, The Avengers, pretty soon. And the more I get online and the more I meet the people of the kingdom, it's like, you're one of these superheroes out there just fighting, you know, every day on the battlefield, sharing the love of God. And you're so humble and you're so approachable. People don't realize the power that you carry in him. And, you know, that's one of the things that, I was hoping we could talk about too, is just, you know, what kind of experiences have you had out there when you're meeting people, when you're sharing your faith with people, you know, and what makes you want to do that? How come you believe in Jesus in the first place? You know, like, how did you, I should have asked that in the beginning, but how did you become a Christian in the beginning?
Well, I've been going to church since I was 3 years old, and at first I was sort of like a bit edgy about it, because, you know, I guess all children think, oh, church, boring, and you kind of like resent it at that age and everything. But I kind of like got over that, and at the age of 12 I went to a youth Christian camp, and there was this boy that was crippled there. I remember this, and this was very, very clear. I remember this, and it was August 1988 when I was 12 years old, and there was this boy that came out the front, and they prayed for him in the Holy Spirit, and no word of lie or anything. He just suddenly threw away his crutches, and he was no more a lame person anymore. And the next day he was even found playing football, and I was just so filled with the Holy Spirit and Jesus' love at the time. It just flooded through me, and and they said, somebody said, would you like to give your life to Jesus? And I said, yes, please. And I said the sinner's prayer, and I let Jesus enter into my life, and I gave my life to him that time. And from there, I just fell deeply in love with Jesus.
You know, that's interesting, because my grandfather also met Jesus the same way because of a very special miracle. I mean, he was a Christian before, you know, a lot of people are Christians, but he didn't really believe in God like he did for the rest of his life until he, in the 1950s, came face up with a miracle. That's the name of his book, Face Up with a Miracle. And it set him on that journey of just traveling around and, you know, learning about what God can do when you're not in the church system, when you're just going out there and just sharing the Lord and faith everywhere. That's one of the main purposes for miracles, is to help people to come to believe in the Lord. So that's really beautiful, teens. And now let's talk a little bit about your, I don't know where to start. I mean, we've talked about some of your dreams and some of your experiences, and I'm going to ask you some questions about some of the delightful things on your Facebook, and people can find you on Facebook, Tina Jensen. Jensen with an E, both E's, Jensen. And would you like to share a poem that you shared earlier with me privately earlier?
Oh, yes, I'd love to. Thanks for that. Okay. It's called Pure Holy Romance. It is a poem. Jesus is my only desire. He sets my heart and soul on fire. Jesus swept me off my feet. His anointing is better than lover's heat. My soul hungers and thirsts to be one with him. As nightingales sing and flowers spring, Come, Jesus, living water, flow into my deepest well. Come, sweet beloved Jesus, enter me, into me to dwell. Worship Jesus like having my first kiss. Holy, pure, wonderful, loving, starlight, heaven's bliss. His biblical words are kisses from above, sweet as roses, carnations, lily from a heart full of love. His deep, warm spirit romances me, making my heart fly like a bird high and free. Wow. Jesus, let me drink deep from your water fountain of life. Falling ever deeper into love. Jesus, my beloved, so fine. In true everlasting love, in him I submit. And from childhood, I've been his. Sweet fragrance, beautiful Holy Ghost dove. Nothing is closer than our Saviour's love. To our relationship and love, nothing compares. Not even twin or loving pairs. Jesus is the most beautiful soulmate, love unendless, true, faithful and great. Sweet Jesus, nobody can ever take your place.
Oh man, that is so powerful.
Praise the Lord.
You guys don't feel the Holy Spirit on that one. I don't know why you're even following God. That is so, so precious and beautiful. And I just feel... I know in the heart of my heart. And this is why I feel so bad we haven't gotten you on live yet. It's been crazy on my end trying to produce things. And we were going to do this yesterday. But, you know, nonstop spiritual warfare, which is why I'm wearing this necklace here on Easter Sunday after the bombing in Sri Lanka. You know, the church is under attack, guys. The bride is being persecuted. People don't realize, but Christianity is the... it's going to be like, we're going to go through the tribulation and it's going to be even worse, but there is so many places where there's such persecution going on. And this necklace was given to us on Easter Sunday. My wife and I went to a local church. It was kind of one of those big churches with the rock band and, you know, they want you to just kind of be entertained. And it wasn't like the really close, intimate love with the Lord that, you know, that teens has. But it was okay. And I was just thinking about it. I was like wearing this thing and I looked at it. It looks like teeth. I thought it was teeth. I was like, what is this weird Hawaiian like headhunter church or something? And then here is the teeth of our enemies. Wear them. You know, I'm like, ooh. That's what my mind was just kind of going all over the place. But we are in a warfare. And, you know, I'm kind of, you know, always in wacko, you know, berserker mode. But the weapon that you carry, Tina, is really the intimate love with Jesus. And it, and people can laugh at you. They can make fun of you. I know you don't. You take everything in stride. You just love everyone and you just share God's love. But the weapon that you carry is the most powerful one. And because it's your identifying with Jesus as the bride. You even tell me about this video on your Facebook recently, a few days ago, dancing with Jesus, you know, oh, yes, you had a dancing for Jesus video. How, what was the inspiration for that video?
I've always wanted to, to be honest, yeah, I've never actually had a romantic dance with anyone before, you know, and I've always kind of like desired this. It might be a bit sort of like for my own personal thing, and I've always like desired that, and I thought who better to share a dance with than Jesus, you know?
Right, that's right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Paul Morris, this is my Magnum PI look. Yep, that's right. Oops, I'm totally dropping the, like, literally dropping it here, dropping the ball. Well, who better to have your first romantic dance with than Jesus? That's for sure. You know, we should have on the Fringe Radio Network and among our different networks, we should have like get-togethers where there's just dance music and people can dance. You know, that's one of the things that I really miss from my old missionary days, was when there used to be these get-togethers and young people and adults and everybody, all ages, would just have a big crazy dance party for Jesus, just like you dancing like crazy, just like woo. Yeah, but like together also, some of them crazy dances, some of them like more slow, and being like that freedom, you know, with like the kids there dancing and the teenagers and the young adults and the adults, just all like kind of free, but then also, you know, like a, like, you know, ballroom dancing or like that prom dance, or for the younger generation. Or, I mean, that is really a part of God's kingdom. And that's something I have seen from time to time in, on the mission field in India, Japan. So much fun. But you know what? You're carrying it right now. So hats off to you.
Thank
so
you.
And that romance with Jesus. So tell, do you want to talk a little bit more about that? Like, how did you go from believing in God to now where you really have this, you've developed this kind of like this, I don't want to say persona, but you've, I basically your identity of just being the bride of Jesus, like the princess of Jesus, not just the bride, guys. There's all these brides out there. You see all this Photoshop, the bride with the sword and the lion behind her, and, you know, the bride, you know, running, you know, to the to Jesus. But like your identity, like you every day walk in that. How did this come about? And
I think it's really always been there since I was like a young teenager, because I remember when I was the age of only 16 years old, even as young as 16, and once they were having like a disco night, and I can't remember the song and everything, but I remember all these kids getting up and like dancing, and they're like all boyfriends and girlfriends. And at that time, I wasn't really into boys. I was more, you know, obviously into Jesus and everything. And I was kind of like thinking to myself, you know, well, I might not be having a boyfriend to dance with, but, you know, just imagine if, you know, I could dance with Jesus that way. So I think that's where it all kind of like started from, really.
Wow. So it all started from just kind of that very pure, you know, just from like wanting to have that relationship. Well, that's lovely, Tina. And now let's get into some of your dreams. You had some dreams about the New Jerusalem, where you described some different animals and flowers. And I just thought that was such an amazing, vivid dream. If you want to share that, if you have that on hand or not.
Oh, yeah, of course. Shall I tell you about my rapture dream? This is what I heard. I heard a song, and I don't remember if I actually heard the song or if I was actually singing it myself, but I was thinking about the song. I don't know if you heard of it. Oh, happy days when Jesus washed my sins away. I expect you all heard about that one out there. I can't remember if I was actually a passenger in a car with somebody or if I was riding my own bike, because I got my electric bike and everything, and I come home on that. And I always ask Jesus to keep me safe, by the way. I'm always singing on the bike and everything, singing to Jesus and everything as I come home on my bike. And anyway, I'm back to the dream. I saw what I thought was some kind of writing or a symbol about Jesus or something, and I smiled to myself. And then I was at home going about my everyday business, like tending to Peter, probably having a shower or getting a drink or milkshake, or then having a shower and going to bed or something, I think. But as I looked out the window, I was like shocked, but it wasn't a shock. It was like a pleasant shock. Although this was like in black and white, these were black and white clouds, there was like the sunlight glowing behind the clouds. And the clouds actually perfectly formed the New Jerusalem. The feelings that I had was a rush of delightment which entered my soul and my whole being. I was breathless, but I also gave out a huge smile. My soul then felt like it was kind of like being sucked out of my body, sucked out fast, and it was kind of like a fast rushing towards New Jerusalem. It's kind of like felt like a pulling, and it was speedy and, you know, very fast and very exciting. And it was so uplifting, it was. And I was filled so full of the Holy Spirit and just so much joy as I never felt before. And I woke up.
Oh, Oh, sorry, I was muted. Sorry. What shape was the New Jerusalem? You said the clouds formed the shape of the New Jerusalem. Was it a cube or was it a pyramid?
I think it was like some sort of like building or castle or something like this. I think something like that.
Whatever it was, if Jesus' princess saw it, it was definitely a castle. That's for sure. Wow. Beautiful. So that was your rapture dream. And man, your soul getting sucked out of your body sounds scary. But the joy, that's the thing. I was thinking about this recently, like when we're fighting, you know, people don't understand. They're always like, Michael, why are you always talking about spiritual warfare or fighting? And I was walking home last night and I was thinking about this. And I went on a little rant and it was just like, the weapons that we fight with are life-giving weapons that when you use them, like praise, for example, or if you were to launch like a missile, a spirit missile of God's presence, the darkness cannot stand the light. And that light comes and there's so much healing. If you would receive that light, if you would receive Jesus, you would feel the same joy that Tina has, even though I know Tina has been through a lot in her life, and we're going to have you come on again and share some more stories, but this is just to kind of introduce you. But like that joy that you describe of like Jesus coming so like potent and real and just happy and fun. And what do kids do or what do families do when they get together and everybody's just enjoying themselves? They act silly. You know, Jesus has a sense of humor. He's just feeling great. And it's not drugs. You know, when you see people on drugs and they're kind of like, and they're like, they're happy, but you know, they're laughing about nothing. They're just being stupid. The jokes that Jesus tells you are really funny and smart and he's clever. And he's he gives you that same feeling where, you know, all day, like I can tell you so many things, but I want to shut up, but I thought somebody was at the door. Okay, so let's tell me the story, the joke or joke, sorry, the dream you had about going to heaven and about the music and everything. That was another dream that you had, or any other dreams you have that you want to share?
I can't remember the details of this exact dream, but okay. I remember like millions of people were like queuing up. They all wanted and desired to see Jesus, and on my part of me, I suppose this was part of me being selfish in a way, because I was kind of worrying about how long would it be before it was my turn to see Jesus. But in the dream, what happened was that in no time I saw Jesus, and the queue seemed to go impossibly down quick, because what happens, you see, that everybody was sort of like maybe taking like a really short time, but for each person that was in the presence for just like, say, like a miniature of a second or whatever, for each person that was in his presence, it seemed like hours for them, you know. But for us, it seemed like it was going really quick and everything.
So the queue, just for our American audiences, a queue is a line. There was a long line to meet Jesus.
Oh, right. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm just checking. I'm just making sure people remember. So it was a very long queue. It was a very long line.
And then I saw Jesus coming along, and just my heart mounted, and you know, so full of love for Jesus and that. And I think we just both naturally walked up to each other and just gave each other a huge hug. And I thought. And I was at this time, I was thinking about a few worries, but then he hugged me close and he whispered to me, it's okay, I killed Satan and evil, and I love you, you're safe. And I just felt incredible love for Jesus as we hugged. So.
Beautiful. He killed Satan. Jesus killed Satan. Yeah! Go, Jesus! Maybe these are like the teeth of the devils that he crushed. He's like, here's a devil necklace for you, dead devil teeth, and here's a necklace. I mean, that would be my slice of heaven would be like wearing like the skulls of demons that we slaughtered. But teens would be in the nice, you know, this is like the more, you know, we're talking Jesus princess heaven here, guys. And it's listen, I'm joking around a lot, but I believe in your dreams. I believe in the visions that you had. And because I know your heart, I know that you are someone who really does carry that passionate, powerful, that loving the Lord presence. It's very personable and it's very approachable. That's why I don't think the demons ever see you coming when you enter the room. You're so humble and so like just approachable that you're not even on their radar. And then suddenly like they're having their teeth knocked out. More necklaces. Anyway, so on that note, did you also have a dream where you kind of went into the New Jerusalem that you shared with me earlier? Do you have that dream?
Oh yeah, sure. In my dream of heaven, this is what I saw in my dream. I saw golden cars ran off for God's love. Oh yeah, by the way, we also have funfairs in heaven. I saw funfairs and roller coasters for anybody that loves roller coasters and
funfairs. A funfair. Is that how you call it in Winchester?
A funfair, and I believe it's probably made of solid gold, and you know. Wow. And I saw the banquet table of the marriage supper of the Lamb. New Jerusalem was made perfectly from gold, but that was not the whole part of heaven. As a part, my son, parents, and I was over some water, and we saw the New Jerusalem. So we was in a part like on the grass and that, but over the water we could see like the New Jerusalem from the distance. And where we was, there was some beautiful flowers, and there were children sitting down amongst the flowers and amongst the grass, lying down or sitting down, and they were like making music with the flowers. And you know, it's quite amazing. It was like beautiful music, and you know, everywhere was perfectly grown, leaf trees and grass. The oceans of water were perfectly still, which had a perfect blue, like gemstone colour, that was perfectly clear and shining and teemed with life. Flowers were all colours and played music. Forests had golden paths and teeming with life and beautiful. Everyone loved each other. With all their heart, and there was no road rage, but there was cars and roads up in heaven because everything was made from gold. We could all go and hug Jesus or ask him questions anytime we wanted, so that would be my favourite part. I'd always be wanting to go and give a hug to Jesus. And then we could meet our favourite celebrities, you know, the ones that made it to heaven. And there are pure fountains and streams, and this is one that I really love too. About the animals, I saw rabbits and animals in my dream, and this time they were not afraid of us, and they didn't run off, but in fact they did not leave us alone, but followed us everywhere, which I really love, because I really do love animals, and that all parts were golden. There were churches or chapels all over heaven, and that's the images that I saw.
Wow. I don't know if anybody else felt that when she was reading her dream, but I mean, just even the words, you got me at everyone loved each other. That's, you know, what a world we live in where people are so cold to each other. And it says in the last days, Jesus prophesied that the love of many will grow cold. And, you know, you're just absolutely you're nailing it right on the head. Like heaven is a place where the animals are all friendly, right, lizard? I have a lizard in here running around. He's always like, thinks I'm going to eat him. I'm trying to help you. He's eating all the ants for me, though. I really appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you, Goldie. Gold dust lizards. But, you know, they're not afraid. The child shall play with the rattlesnake, you know. And, you know, it's, man, that's so powerful. That is so powerful. Well, I don't know but that's pretty much it for what we have on the list here. But just, I guess, your whole like walk with the Lord is so intimate and intricate, and being able to see into heaven and have these dreams. That was a dream that you had that you shared about going into heaven. That is so vivid. It is so, I mean, people could write that down and make it up, but when you shared it just now, I really felt that. I don't know about everyone else here, if you guys are listening. Okay. What we do here live, by the way, is usually we have a few people watching live. I appreciate you guys popping in here. I see Mike David, God bless you, man. There's someone who knows about the weapon of identity with the Lord. And Zeke, there you go. We got two guys here that know about this. And Paul, bless you, brother Paul. So we have another writer, Mr. Sheldon Ford, L. Sheldon Ford, who we've also interviewed. So I love you guys thank you for popping in here, but we're also going to have a lot of people listen later on the iTunes and on Fringe Radio Network and hopefully on your channel. And I just hope that we can bring people together into this kind of fellowship with the Lord and in his kingdom realm. You don't have to, you know, do anything really embarrassing, but Tina goes out and she humbles herself before the Lord and before the world. And I challenge all of you guys to do a dancing video like Tina did, dancing for Jesus. I want to see somebody do that, you know. Nobody else can take the crown from Jesus, princess, until I see someone really give it their all. And if you're faking it, I'm going to notice. You know, so far, I've only seen my daughter dance like that and Tina. So you're amazing. And do you want to share anything else today? Is there anything else in your heart or any other dreams or
I got the experience that happened when I was a child about I had these friends at school. I did get a lot of flack for it afterwards, but it's okay, you know. I stay true to Jesus because he's my first love, and you know nothing's going to move me. And these kids were going to go on the Ouija board, and I told them no. That's not a good thing to do, but they still went ahead and tried to do it, and I just went off and, you know, went and I think ate my sandwiches, and later on I saw them, they came out again, and oh yeah, I forgot to mention the bit where I prayed very hard, I prayed really, really hard about it, and later on I saw them, they came out, and I said, I thought you was going to go and play with the Ouija board, and they turned around and said, well, we tried to, but we couldn't get it to work. And so at the time, I didn't actually think anything of it. But as I was walking home, like I usually used to just talk to Jesus as I was walking along, and he kind of put that thought in my mind. He said, actually, it was me that stopped it from working, he said.
Yeah. That is so cool. I was talking to someone about Ouija boards recently. And they had a very interesting story. I forgot exactly what it told them. It was helping them to solve different answers for their homework and all this kind of stuff. And then I think they asked the spirit its name, and it told them its name, and it was some kind of demon name. And all kinds of, you know, demons started showing up in their house, and ghosts. And, you know, when you open up a Ouija board, you're playing with, I don't want to say you're playing with fire. You're almost like dipping your cup into the ditch by the road and just picking it up and taking a sip of that. And so you might find out there's something alive in that water, but it's not good. It's going to make you really sick. And if you look at it under a microscope of God's word and God's Holy Spirit, you'll see, oh yeah, these are like parasites. These are bacteria. These are all kinds of sickness and disease. And that's basically what you get when you play with a Ouija board. So don't do that, guys. But if you did, you can always go get washed in the river of life and jump into what Tina has been sharing with us. We're live with Tina Jensen, by the way, Jesus Princess. And I'm so honored. I feel like I'm standing in the presence of someone who is really just high level in the spirit. One of the secret ones, one of the ones that doesn't have a big ministry. Look at me. I'm so holy. I have everything set. But you have your book on Amazon, which again, we've posted on Facebook Live. I'm going to post it on YouTube as well. I hope that everybody will go check it out. The Coming of the Tiger Fly. you guys got to check this book out. I mean, Tina, you really do have a connection to heaven. It's just, this is something that you can't fake. You can't make it up. You know, there's a lot of people out there who just want to get your money. But I think Tina deserves all of us to go there and go ahead and buy that ebook on there and share it with people. And oops. Okay. Well, I'm croaky. I'm sounding croaky here. Sorry. Who is doing that? Okay, here we go. Hey, hot retired chicks. Bless you. We've got Mike in Chicago. He says he felt it. Beautiful. I don't know why this link is doing so bad. Do you want to share any other stories today about the Lord and your walk with God? You had one other thing that you shared with me earlier.
Yes. I was working.
Yes.
I used to work in this charity shop in Winchester. And one of the ladies there had a daughter with a little baby. So that was being her granddaughter. And she was very poorly at the time. And she had to go to hospital. And that time I went home and it really touched my heart. And I just felt led by the Holy Spirit to pray for this little baby because she was premature. And I really worshipped in the Spirit and really prayed. And the next day, when I went back to work, I think it was, or I was walking along the street and I bumped into the grandma. And I said, how was the little girl, you know, how is the little baby? And she said that she was about to die, but I don't know how, but by some miracle, this baby was brought back to life. And I said, what time? And I can't remember the exact time, but all I know was that the exact time that baby was brought to life was the same time that I prayed over that child.
Wow. Wow. So if just in case the audio wasn't perfect on the live end, Teens basically prayed for someone who got healed and was basically their child was essentially passed away, you're saying. Like they did clinically see that the child was not alive anymore, right?
I think that they're about to go, but then she was, I think they've brought her back, or that's a story. Wow. Isn't there?
Whoa. Wow. Well, thank you so much, Tina, for sharing your story, your testimony. We're going to definitely have to get you back into some more shows and just connect you up with more friends. And I just can't wait to see what the Lord does as we're moving into new areas. You know, I mean, since 2012, when we met, I've come through a lot of different battles and I've learned a lot. And I think that we are beginning to start to share a level of faith that is just, it goes beyond. And you're from, I mean, I forgot which church you're, were you around the Adventist church you mentioned?
I do go to the Seventh-day Adventists and I was baptized in that church, but right. I prefer just to say that I'm a lover and follower of Jesus Christ. So
that's kind of where I'm at. Like yesterday I met a table from Colombia. I want to say it was Colombia, and they were just the sweetest Catholics. They were asking me like, are you a Catholic? And because, you know, they were asking me some questions and I told them I was a missionary in Asia for a period of time. And they were always like, everybody asks you like, so what church do you go to? And, you know, are you Catholic? And I'm like, well, I was kind of Catholic for like a year, not officially, but I was doing everything Catholic. And I still read a lot of Catholic books and share them, G.K. Chesterton. But I'm the same as you. I mean, I'm just a follower, a lover of Jesus Christ. That's my denomination. I don't even call it religion. You know, I'm just like, this is who I am. We've got to get you back on. We've got to connect you up with some of our friends and keep writing. You have such an amazing ability to share visions, and what you write is just very powerful. I want to thank you for coming on. And
you're welcome.
And we have a friend who says your book looks like a very touching story. Mike in Chicago. Thank you, Mike. We're going to get you live. We're going to get you live too one of these days, bro. And I don't know why it's, YouTube always says there's nobody watching when there is someone watching. We have someone watching on YouTube. Alrighty. Thank you everybody for joining us. Don't forget to check out The Coming of the Tiger Fly on Amazon and pray for us. And thank you very much, teens. Thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome.